Hi, I'm Philip Pong with another edition of Humble and Fred Legends, powered by the Retirement Sherpa. Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and Dewar, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. Today, we're going to go back to April 16th, 2014, with much footage. We're going to hear from Bob Azumi, legendary national angler. Comedian and broadcaster Ali Hassan brought in some food. As well, we're going to hear him a lot about food. Eggs, bacon, chutney. Fred Ball called in with a Fred story. And there's a question that has to be answered. Who gets irritated more easily? As well, our friend Eileen. Enjoy.
Yes.
You're wearing a very nice sweater today, and this just shows you how I really don't notice things. I actually said to Fred, weren't you wearing the same thing yesterday?
Which I find a bit disturbing to begin
Why?
With. Well, I could have no idea what you were wearing.
Neither could I.
Not a obviously. Color?
neither could I, obviously, because I thought, I looked up at one point, I just out of the corner of my eye, I thought,
no.
Sort of this looks like the same thing you were wearing yesterday.
What I'm saying is I couldn't even take the step you did this morning. To say, weren't you wearing the same thing yesterday? Like there was some recollection of what you were wearing. Unless you come in a clown suit, I have no idea.
You're just a floating head.
You know what?
What?
It wouldn't even bother me. I'm at that point in my life now where I could just wear a clown suit.
I like the big shoes. They're funny.
The only reason I thought of what you were wearing yesterday is because I thought you were wearing the same thing. I thought, that's interesting. Because you don't normally go 2 days with the same shirt.
Oh, absolutely not. Couldn't. Never. Never happened.
Why? Because you stink it up?
No, it's just not what you do. No grown man wears the same shirt two days in a row.
Do you do it on the weekends? I do.
Denise wouldn't put the same shirt out 2 days in a row for him.
She wouldn't lay it out with his mittens?
It's all based on a shower. So if I'm wearing a shirt and I get up in the morning on a Saturday, I might put the same shirt on until I have a shower. I might go down, have my coffee, maybe fry up some eggs, a little ham, right? In the same shirt that I wore the day before.
But
as soon as I go up for the shower, then I change my shirt.
It's a whole new ballgame.
And believe it or not, every day when I come in here, I've had a shower. So I do the wild thing and put a fresh shirt on.
I do believe it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think anything less. I just thought, you know, why is that such a big deal?
Maybe we should get a little hot plate in here and fry up eggs in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, we're getting the sink anyway. We might as well go the whole nine yards and put in a full kitchen.
I could rustle up some eggs for you guys every morning.
You know the secret to eggs, by the way? And what kind of eggs do you like? Do you like them easy over? Do you like them sunny side? Do you like them scrambled?
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah. I knew you'd have some. Oh, is it that song? What song by Ian Thornley? Damn it. We played it. I used to play it as transition music. I loved it. And now I can't remember it.
It would be his latest sort of
Someone
song.
Find me Ian Thornley's latest song.
It's pushing 2 years old now. You know what I get now? The Kirkland egg whites in a carton.
Mm-hmm.
They're real authentic egg whites. I really enjoy them. Because, I don't know. I read about, you know all about eggs and yolks and...
Mm-hmm.
How they come out of the ass of a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How they're awful for you.
One day I'll have regular eggs, and then the next morning I'll just have egg whites.
Right. Keep your cholesterol on a good level.
Yeah,
I don't heave very much eggs. I don't heave them. I don't heave them very often, but once a week or so I'll make them. And a lady friend actually taught me how to make them, because prior to this little lesson, I would do eggs very. Well, I could do a lot of things. Very in impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to cook them. I want them cooked.
Half the eggs on the backsplash because he's stirring
care.
The bastard.
Oh, yeah, I'm stirring.
Yeah.
What the hell did the chicken ever do to you?
you do really come off a little bit churlish, I think is the word.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Childish?
No, churlish.
Yeah.
Another word.
Look it up.
It's a good word.
Okay, what's it mean?
It's like crusty and hard
crusty
to get along with.
Next, why do you just churlish. Say crusty and hard to get along?
Because churlish is fun to say.
Because he needs to...
exercise my vocabulary.
There you go. No,
And it's quite extensive.
So, but what I do now, and I've taken over, because we have this really nice non-stick pan, is I whip them up a little bit with just a little bit of milk, maybe some half and half, two or three eggs. Yeah. And then I just let them in the pan. It's almost as low as you can have it cooking.
Right.
Like just a little bit of heat, and it takes a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, not fascinating enough for you.
No, then what happens? No.
What happens is they cook slowly, which is not in my nature. Then I just, the last second, I'll put a little you know, shredded cheese and then flip it.
You throw a little salt and pepper on those bastards?
Well, no. Wait. And then I put a little of this truffle oil on top of it.
Oh, Fred.
Jesus. And what does that do?
It's. I'm going to tell you.
What does the truffle oil do,
it
though?
It just has this thing it does. It gives you a little bit. I put it on a little bed of arugula and a little avocado on the side. And then I... little crack and salt and pepper on it. Crack and this is, I don't know why I did that. No, I'm
the universal symbol
worst mime ever.
Well, you know, because it certainly translates on radio.
My son,
very little of what I've done.
My son got me onto the Frank's Red Hot with my eggs.
I do that. I love it. That's the last thing I throw on every time I make eggs.
Mm-hmm. What I hate, and you know, people know in my house, I hate cooking bacon, regular bacon. Because of all the grease,
yes.
Splashes.
That's even, all they talk about in your house. Things that Daddy hates.
Oh, yes.
Do you think Dad would make us bacon? No.
Don't.
No. Don't
do
even
ever,
ask.
Do you ever do it in the oven?
Yeah, I've tried, but it still smokes and everything. The thing is, again, and I hate to keep bringing up Costco, but they have this sort of back bacon ham that slices nicely, and it's there's not a lot of grease with it. A little bit of olive oil, and I just love that with my eggs. You get regular bacon, you put it in a frying pan, it's like half an inch of this oil, and then trying to get rid of the oil, and it's splashing all over the place. And then, to me, the payoff isn't there.
No, I agree.
To eat the bacon, it's nice, and there's no, like, big deal.
You know, you can make them in the microwave quite handily.
What? The bacon?
Yes.
No, I know.
And you avoid, you put it on the paper towel, and then you cover it with paper towel, and it comes out, and it's... It's a little easier than the in the skillet, yeah. Which is annoying.
I do, but again, my wife doesn't like us to buy it, is the 10-second bacon.
Yes.
I don't mind
the
it.
The Ready Crisp stuff.
Yeah, I just feel like it has like preservatives and
no,
stuff
I know.
In it.
Is that your nickname, the 10-second bacon?
Yeah. What about turkey bacon? Have you tried turkey bacon?
Mm-hmm.
No, yes, I have. It's actually quite nice.
I've tried it, this handy and thing. I've shunned it now.
Oh, how come?
Because it's just not... If you're going to... Listen... The few times I'll have bacon, like I'm not having it every day. Why not have a little bacon? And by the way, I love back bacon, too. Let's get started. We've got a really cool show today. Bob Azumi returns to our show. For you Americans, he is, I don't know, he's like the biggest name in fishing. Mm-hmm. He's a real character, and he's been doing these fishing shows for years, and he's coming back, and people love this guy.
Yeah, he's just one of those people. He's one of those Canadians that brings a smile to everyone's face. And, you know, I think part of the reason is because it's fishing. And then people think of fishing and boats and out in the water, relaxing, pastime, friends, family. It's beautiful.
I agree with you. Also, the reason he's so popular and such a great guy to have on our show is because he's one of those people that genuinely, and I thought about him this morning, he genuinely is doing what he's always loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the classic example of someone who found a passion, turned his passion into a profession, and that's why he's so likable, because he really loves his everyday life.
And you know, I think he's a lot like Mark Saltzman, whereby people just want to give him stuff all the time.
Yeah.
He's quite affable.
Do. Yeah. No, he is, too.
What's the big Rex song I'm thinking of? It's not Ghosts.
No, I know. I'm just going to the site.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We must have played it 100 times over the course of a year, mm-hmm. just back and forth, coming in and out of commercials.
And don't forget that Ali Hassan is making up for his absence earlier in the week. He's going to bring us some food.
But that was a thing. It was never really scheduled. Ali Hassan's a friend of ours, a comedian, and a great cook, chef. He has sort of promised off the air he was going to pop by with some crazy great Indian food or something.
Yeah.
Or,
Albatross, somebody.
Albatross, thank you.
Somebody just messaged me.
Who's that?
Oh,
I don't
Ian
know. It's
Service.
A number.
Ian
oh,
Service.
Ian Service. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know what he meant.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first saw it too, I thought Albert. What? The show's an albatross? No. And then I realized it was the Ian Thornley song.
Oh.
Yeah.
God's sake.
That's the name of it.
You know, it's so funny because I played this. I love this song. And mm-hmm. he played it that night. Now, this was only 12 minutes in the making. The night you and I hosted the New Canadian Music thing, these guys played this tune. And I was just mesmerized. And he's such a great, you know, he's considered one of the great guitar players, too. And watching him do this, it's just cool. He's just one of those guys. He gets up in front of people and he commands a certain level of coolness. Kind of like when Phil, gets up and talks about mainland China.
Yeah, Dodger's reality.
Thank you, Ian Service, for that. That was a service to the show.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Gas in the greater Toronto area where we live
Regular gas, I think, was 139. My mid-grade today was 149. Mm-hmm. And the super grade, the stuff I used to put in my car when we had real radio jobs, was, I think, $155.
$3,000. No.
Per liter.
Yeah.
It was.
You know what? Where I went yesterday, it was 132 and something. It was like off of Roncesvalles, Dundas, and
the cool areas.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. For you Americans, that's about $6 or more a gallon. It's crazy.
Is it really?
Yeah. Because you multiply by four, and, you know, there's more than 4 liters to a gallon, slightly. So, yeah.
3.785.
Yeah, you know, I don't... The oil companies in Canada, I just don't think they're very good citizens. Because the gouging, and I don't care what anybody, even your buddy, our buddy, Lou Skies, is, you know, always a bit of an apologist for the fuel companies and everything. Like, you know, we should be glad that they even exist, that we can use the product to move around. I don't get that. There's a lot of gouging going on. I think there's a lot of collusion taking place. Yeah. And, you know, as the weather gets good and people want to do a lot more things with their family in their spare time.
677.
It's just so calculated.
I'm sorry, Canadian. So 564 a gallon is
five,
what we're,
yeah,
is what so, we're paying.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
677 a gallon Canadian.
We don't even use our own oil. It's being imported from Scotland.
So it's $6.77 a gallon Canadian?
Well, that's what this says. No,
yeah, well, it's around the $6 mark anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, it's. Yeah, I love this song. This is Ian Thornley. So here's the thing. Why is it $1.49 for mid-grade here? In Montreal, they're already paying more than that.
Provincial tax.
Is it provincial?
Yeah.
Of course, the strange thing being Western Canadian is as you get further away from Western Canada, the price increases as well. Yet, I don't understand. We're not really getting our fuel from them, are we? Where are we getting? Where's this fuel coming from?
We're getting Brent crude. So essentially, it's oil from Scotland. For Eastern Canada, that's where we're getting it. We're not getting it from the West, that's for sure.
Why don't we get it from the West?
Because we don't have the facilities to do that. It's just easier to send a tanker from Scotland into the ocean than to, you know, try to.
We have trains, can't we? We have Greyhound buses. God knows. Let's load up some barrels.
Which, funny you say that. As you know, my daughter, I've said many times, lives in Georgetown, and near her home is a rail line. And a couple of times a day, the trains come through at a slow rate of speed, but countless oil tankers.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what happened in Quebec last summer?
Yeah.
Oh, I have these horrible visions of it, you know, jumping the tracks and rolling down the hill. And
in Lac Mégantic.
Rolling down my daughter's street and exploding and... I try not to think about it, but you can't help.
Well, but at that point, Prince Baby John, the miracle boy, will just shoot up into the
air. Just
fly up in the air like Super Baby. Hi, who's this?
Hello?
All right, do I rock?
Hello?
Hello?
Who's we talking to?
This is Ray from Toronto.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Hey. I was just listening to you guys. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned going to Costco to buy your gas. It's right around the corner from you.
No, you see, the Costco I use does not have a gas bar.
Same with me.
There's only select.
The Etobicoke does.
Yeah, the Queensway one does.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's about 5 cents a liter cheaper than anywhere else at any given time.
But do you have to buy like 6,000 liters of it? Take it home in a shed?
Yeah, you have to have a tanker.
Well, that's why you bring a big tanker truck with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, a gas can.
Swing by some morning. We'll give you a t-shirt.
Hey, sounds great.
Yeah, bring us some, maybe some cocoa. And
sure.
And maybe some sliced meat of some kind.
Well, if you bring us bacon, cook it before you come, please.
Or if you want to...
No turkey bacon?
Seriously, if not bacon, a nice ham we can warm up in our microwave.
Oh, my God.
And always welcome is a chutney.
Ooh.
All right, man, take care.
All right, thank you.
It's Ray from Toronto.
Chutney.
The only obstacle you have to deal with Costco gas is the lineups.
Chutney.
I love a nice chutney.
Perhaps so do mango I. Chutney.
And with ham and eggs, it's delicious. The right one.
Lady friend the other night made this curried chicken dish with the chickpea and all the spices, and it was really good. Chana. mm-hmm. using some chana. And the next day, I warmed it up, and I remembered at the last second, mm-hmm. thankfully, that I had some mango pickle that you had pataks. Mm-hmm. Years ago, when I came to this fair land, you said, Howie, I'm going to take you over to this mm-hmm. Indian place, and I just put a little bit of it in.
It's not the same jar, is it?
No, it's a different jar.
Okay.
All right. No, it's the same jar. Why? Because I'm a cheap Hebrew? Is that
it's cheap Hebrew.
Is that why?
Because the cheap... only use a little bit at a time.
Is that why, Fred? Yeah, how dare you? How dare you, anti-Semitic bastard?
Jewish people
especially
eat...
during Passover.
Jewish people are known for eating stuff way beyond their best before date because they're so cheap.
The bottle, the jar says best before 1994.
That's funny. Still good. Still good.
I'll eat it. Meanwhile, I got a twitch in one eye. Some kind of weird Indian salmonella. No,
tongue
I just,
is bubbling.
I just put it in before I microwaved. Mm-hmm. I reheated it. Man, it was good. Try the best stuff.
Yeah, try the lime pickle, too. It's similar, but there is that taste of lime.
Lime pickle.
Potox makes that to us. It's great.
You know, it's funny. We often talk about food on the show and how a lot of North Americans aren't hip to different cultures' flavors. But there was a flavor I'd never heard of nor experienced prior to that one trip. It was a Indian supermarket down from where we worked. Mm-hmm. And now I've had, and I got this big jar, and it does last a long time. But what a flavor. What a thing people to experience. I know I left out a couple words in there, but what mm-hmm. a thing for people to experience that flavor.
No, I know. You know, it's funny you say that, because that was the 90s when I first took you to that Indian grocery store in Brampton. And it was sort of unique at the time. Now Brampton is one huge
yes.
Indian supermarket. I mean, the minute you drive in.
It's like a big sure. flea market.
Yeah, as soon as you leave Mississauga, you're in a big Indian supermarket.
Crazy.
No, it's wonderful. You know, and my daughter, who lives in Georgetown.
The site of a possible train derailment.
These Indian people, she was telling me, bought a fish and chip store, and everybody loved the fish and chips. But what they've done now is introduce some Indian food to this fish and chip place. And she said it's just a wonderful place because they have great fish and chips. And now this great Indian food, she brought some home the other night. And it really did have a nice flavor, different than the Indian food that I buy from my place in Brampton. They're both good, but a different spin on the spice. It's great.
And too bad for mm-hmm. people who don't avail themselves of the many flavors there are, whether it's Chinese cooking, authentic Chinese cooking, or Korean barbecue or whatever, you know. It is interesting that, and you've made this point too, about mm-hmm. how some people just have a barrier of adventure, an adventure barrier. It's like one of those diaphragms of adventure where they won't go through it. What are those things called? The rubber? Those little dams?
Rubber chickens.
You mean that a woman uses?
Yes.
A diaphragm.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a food adventure diaphragm. Barrier.
Here's where it comes from.
Delicious analogy.
Thank you.
Here's where it comes from. And I'm not stretching when I say this. It's intolerance and a little bit of racism. Because people are intolerant of certain races. And when it comes to their food, I'm not trying that. Yeah, no, that stuff's no good. Have you ever tried it? No, I know I won't like it. And that is seeded in intolerance and racism.
I know.
And it's sad because, you know, get over that and you know what? You'll open yourself up to something nice.
You're 92% correct. It's seeded in intolerance, racism, and natural fear of something different, evolving, change, and transition. Honestly, it is. A lot of people, because how could you taste, if I brought a little bit of this thing I made the other day with this mango pickle and the chana, there's no way you could taste that and not have that be one of your favorite things.
No, I know.
I'm going to argue, if you don't try new food, you also don't give oral. Why would you put that in your mouth?
Once again, Eileen.
Juice. That's great.
Yeah.
Hello. Who's on the line?
Good morning, guys. That's Kent from Peterborough.
Hey, Kent, how are you, buddy?
Kent, what did I say about calling out in this morning? You're supposed to say I'm Rob from North Carolina. I figured this shit out, Kent. What's going on, buddy?
Fuel's gone up here in this area, too. It's $1.329.
It's what?
Gas.
$1.329. It went up 6 cents overnight.
Yeah. Around the corner, I got gassed up about 3 blocks from here. It was $1.49 for the mid-grade and $1.38 or something for... the first level of gas.
Ken, you're from Peterborough. Do you like Indian food?
No, I'm not too partial to the Indian food.
Have you tried it, Kent?
Yes, I have.
All right, well, then that's
well,
fine.
Here's another thing. Or there's West Indian food. There's a guy on Hunter Street that sells rotis.
Oh, I know bookends and great little bistros and cafes in Peterborough.
Yeah, sure. No, but it's a Jamaican guy on Hunter Street. He's a fantastic roti.
Now, fabulous. Not to be confused with this Indian guy on Cunty Street, right around the corner.
Well, his food's not too good.
That's right. You got to get it fresh, okay? And there's certain times of the month it's closed, and but it's not for everyone.
I was wondering if Fred's been up to check the Tin Palace lately there. Our water levels have increased considerably there, and there's a fair bit of flooding there. And I don't know how close he is to the water there, but I was up through that way, the neck of the woods the other day there. And
I'm close to the water, but I'm on a little lake, and with the flow, it never really gets that high on Lovesick. I mean, it gets higher, but there's never any real threat of flooding on our lake.
Yeah, but, I get up there quite a bit there, and you know, they've opened up the dams there, and the water's running through the rapids pretty good across underneath Highway 28. So,
well, no, I was there a few weeks ago. Plus, not this weekend. Next weekend, I will be in Peterborough for Jerry Seinfeld at the MIM Center.
Oh yeah, good old Jerry. That'll be a good show.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Peterborough Today.
On Chex TV.
With Freddie P. and Kent. Checking the water levels and hanging out at Cunty's Indian Barbecue.
No, it's a West Indian restaurant.
All right, sorry. Kent, thanks for calling, man. We got to go.
He's
a good boy. Kent from Peterborough. This is Humble and Fred from Toronto. And we'll come back. We got more program on this network. It's Humble and Fred Radio.
Perfect imperfections. Give your all to me.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
I believe that Health Gauge, which is what I'm wearing, is everyone's going to be wearing one of these soon. And you might as well wear this one. Because it's leading edge, it's bleeding edge when it comes to keeping track of your health. Many people are doing this, wearing these, monitoring their apps and their well-being. Health Gauge is bringing it all together, making the overburdened healthcare system more efficient and cost-effective. That is a great story, by the way, of Charlie Watts. I was just dicking around. You know, what do you keep track of most of all? Is it the blood pressure? Is it your... steps? Is it your pulse wave velocity? Steps, yeah?
I would say steps.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Well, as you know, for me, it's sleep. Look at that, buddy. 8.0. 8.0. 2.3 deep, by the way. This is what I keep track of. And whatever it is you're looking to improve, whether it's your calories burned or your heart rate, your pulse wave, whatever it is, Health Gauge can help. And so can we. HealthGauge.com. Go and check it out. Put in the promo code HumbleFredHG.
Tim Niblett, he's the guy you want to talk to if you're getting ready to invest, you want to build a portfolio, or you have one and you want someone to have a second look at it. Hey, Tim's been in this for a long time, and he knows what he's doing, and he's helped a lot of Humble and Fred listeners so far. The list is really impressive. The people that have come over to the Sherpa side, so to speak. Tim is a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. You hear him on the show every week. Again, he knows what he's talking about. He's got all angles covered. And again, if you want somebody to have a second look at your portfolio, he is the guy, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
Hi, who's this?
It's Dan from Pickering.
Hey, Dan from Pickering, what's going on?
I was just reminded when sweet Eileen there was talking about oral.
Yeah, when isn't she talking about oral?
Yeah, you're going to have to be more specific. Was it today? No.
just moments ago.
Yes, I know.
I think what she said was, if you don't like adventurous food, you're no good at oral.
Well, you probably won't try that either.
Won't try that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to keep in mind. But what I was thinking about, and I've been thinking about it for a while, during the dark days when she will be leaving us with the beautiful child, who you're going to get to replace her. And when the commercials come on, I was wondering, maybe you should get the girl from adamandeve.com.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a beautiful voice for radio.
I know, but, you know, where would we put our things?
Pardon?
Where do we put them now?
Where do you put them now?
They rest them on my baby bump.
No, but I mean,
well, let me address one. There is no replacing Eileen. Eileen is not, there's what's going to happen is we're going to go into a almost like a prevent defense where the summertime will bring a bunch of best of shows and some people hanging out with us. Everyone from Judy Croon to Barb DiGiulio to
we've had lots of good response.
Amanda Barker, some different women that we enjoy their company, but no one. And I want to reiterate this, is replacing this magical wonder child.
We were
maker.
I was discussing with Eileen the other day that come September, you know, it's not out of the possibility that she could actually bring the babe in with her.
And if it's a girl, she could hook up with baby John.
That's right. Have the child in a bassinet over there in the corner while she performs the show. Yes, it may cry the odd time.
And Phil could be like a wet nurse.
Yes, he could.
The third nipple will come in.
No, and then I can just see Eileen's
shaking her head.
Eileen's baby and Stan curled up in front of the little heater we have here.
We may be in this position. Do we take Eileen? Do we have no Eileen, or do we take Eileen with the baby?
I'm totally open to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'll be cool.
That's a possibility.
Will it cost more?
Well, we'll discuss that.
We'll see. We'll see with Brandon's schedule, too. Yeah.
Well, that's right. If Brandon's schedule does not allow
and if it
for
does,
him to be home during the morning hours.
Yes. Well, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out.
I would love to set up a little nursery area over here, Howard. Just imagine the wallpaper we could get. And
a mobile.
We could get, a little crib in the mobiles. I have a change table at home we could bring.
Oh, that'll be
good.
Awesome.
The interns can change his diapers.
No, exactly. It'll be cool because we'll change the baby. We'll change each other. It'll be perfect.
You know how often I'm jealous of baby John? I'll open up that diaper and I'll think, you know, ratio-wise, the size of that turd compared to the size of the kid, why can't I do this?
Dude,
really?
Seriously? Try being 8 months pregnant. See how an easy time you have.
Oh.
Go to sleep, you little baby. Go to sleep, you little baby. Your mama's gone away and your dad's gonna stay. Don't leave nobody but the baby.
Hey, man, thanks for calling us, okay? We appreciate it.
All right, buddy. See
Take care.
Anytime, Dan.
I was talking to Eileen earlier about this show I started watching. I know it's an old thing, but this Game of Thrones, you got to get onto it because it's crazy. It's killing, it's sex, it's war, it's battle, it's midgets, it's drinking, it's scary things, it's dragons.
It's like the best Friday night ever.
Honest to Jesus, and
not
it's
the show,
a horny.
I mean, all those things.
It's a horny show.
Yeah.
It's horny.
Yeah.
You get horny during this show, buddy. Yeah, forget about being jealous of Baby John's poo-poo. Things are naked. People are naked. The women are with their
doing
boobies. They're doing it and whores and stuff. Yeah.
Who doesn't love whores?
I'll have to wait till the fall. There's too much yard work to be done now to be inside watching these shows.
Well, at night, instead of watching Fox News, throw on Game of Thrones.
I haven't watched Fox News in months.
Get irritated. Super irritated.
I watched it during the last presidential election.
Oh,
that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you get super irritated?
That was 2012.
No wonder Salna Citra thinks you're churlish.
He asked that not be brought up on the air, Mr.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't see that part of the Sal Bible.
You know why? Because you're skim reading because you're so impatient.
Well, I am impatient. Mm-hmm. Sleeping little baby.
Hello.
Hi, Humble and Fred. Hello.
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 Is this Rob from North Carolina?
No, it's Sue from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island Sue.
Rhode Island Sue.
That's what I love about this show. We've had Peterborough, we've had Pickering,
Toronto,
and now Rhode Island.
I used to be able to pronounce Toronto. Toronto.
Rhode Island.
Sue?
I love Game of Thrones. Do you watch True Blood? That's another crazy, sexy.
It is. I've seen a couple episodes a couple years ago. I never got into it, but I hear people say it's really sexy.
Yes,
vampires are screwing each other.
Oh yeah.
So do you become sort of stimulated while watching this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how do you deal with that?
Oh God.
I deal with that in a number of ways and. The commercials that you have on now and again are helpful.
Do you mind if I ask him a question? So when you become stimulated after some yard work or whatever it is you do, what do you do to take care of it?
I rub up against a stump. If you need to know.
By the way, that's a true story. I'm not even going to question it.
A tree that fell during the ice storm.
Oh, exactly. The notch in the tree. Your wife looks out and she sees your pants down and your little white ass rubbing up against a stump.
Those poor squirrels just hiding inside.
And she says, better the stump.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes she gets the stump. What's that, Sue?
I said you could hurt yourself from that.
No, I'm just going to tell you, this is a horny show.
Just wait. It gets better and better.
This is what people tell me. Magic shit starts to happen.
Yes, a lot of stuff. I've kept up to date with it, and it's amazing. And a friend of mine has been reading all of the books, which personally I don't recommend. I like reading, but the show is fantastic.
Sue, I assume spring has sprung in Rhode Island?
Well, it has. However, last night there was a freak snowstorm, and I had to scrape the windows on the car, and it's very strange.
Yeah, I know. It's strange up here, too.
Sue, yesterday, if I'm not sure you heard the broadcast, but yesterday at this time, it looked like a snowy day in December. Most of it's gone, but when I went out to my car about 11-something yesterday morning, mm-hmm. it was snow all over.
No,
it was just asinine.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Sue, thanks for spreading the word and the love of Humble and Fred. We appreciate it.
I have. I love this show.
Well, the show loves you.
Yeah, we love you, Sue. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. You have a good day, guys.
All the best to you. God bless America. And God bless you, Sue in Rhode Island. Coming up a couple minutes from now, Bob Azumi is going to be our guest. So we have a schedule in the summertime when Eileen's away. Summertime. And she comes back in September. See you in September. But here's the thing. We had scheduled tentatively some weeks to take off. Of course, there will always be a Humble and Fred show because of a huge catalog of material. So we decided we were going to take a couple weeks off in July and perhaps a couple weeks off in early August. No, and then that changed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday we sort of defined exactly when in August we were going to take it off. And this caused some consternation to our Asian fellow, Phil Hong.
Well, general concern rather than anything else there.
So, if we can, Phil, where were you when you first heard that we were going to change our August dates?
From the first two of August to the last two.
I actually heard it yesterday as you guys were mentioning it to Mike Muzzin from iTech.
And you had already made plans for the first 2 weeks.
Which can be cancelable so easily, and that's why I set them up like that.
But... Mm-hmm. Your two uncles told you that you didn't need to do that. We would not want to ruin your little trip to Baltimore with your sister.
Let's just pause the story if we can. Hi, who's this?
It's Fred. Fred Ball.
All right. Ball Fred on Fred. Ball. Okay. We're going to have to pause. balls on balls. What do we call it?
Fred on Fred.
Fred on Fred. That's right.
Ball in this case, it's balls on chin.
Right.
Dude, that would make it your chin.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Oh, okay. It's balls on somebody's chin named Fred. Fred, 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 ball. Hey, Ballsy.
I like that song.
I know you do.
A couple of minutes ago, Fred was discussing your impatience. And this story about Fred, you can judge for yourself about his impatience.
Hey, now, Fred, for you people who haven't heard this thing before, Fred's a ball. Fred Ball is a dear friend of Fred Patterson's, known him for years. A few times you've made an appearance on the show, and we decided to call these segments Fred on Fred. Please continue.
Okay, back in the 80s, the Toronto Argonauts football games were blacked out in a 50-kilometer radius around the stadium, so you could watch the games in Georgetown. And Fred and I decide we're going to go to watch a Toronto Argonaut game on a Sunday, and Delisa's brother Clyde says, yeah, I'm coming too. So we decide to meet at this one bar, and Fred's driving, I go with Fred, and we get to this bar, and it's Sunday, and the thing's not open. And this is in downtown Georgetown, but we did pass a couple of bars along Highway 7, and Clyde isn't there, and Fred is just incensed, like, fucking Joseph, where's anyone ever on time in that family? So,
oh, I love this.
Fred and I drive back along Highway 7, and we find this restaurant that's open where we can watch the game. And Clyde, we still haven't heard from him, and obviously no cell phones in 85. So then we see him drive by on Highway 7, and Fred is just a madman now. He gets in his car, and he drives out into the traffic, and he's got his horn on the whole time, like not BP, just holding it down. And we're like 10 cars behind Clyde, right?
Oh, my God.
And I'm pissing in my pants laughing, and I said, "But he can't hear you, he can't hear you." And every other car around us is crazy, right? It's like, what are these people doing? So who is more impatient?
No, you know, Freddie Ball, it's not even a contest. No, honest to God. You know, honest, you know, and...
You can't wait for an egg to fry.
you couldn't wait for his answer.
Thank you, Eileen. You know, that woman knows stuff. Fred Ball, you're a wonderful... it's great to have you pop in on the show to tell all these tales of Fred Patterson.
Anyway,
all the best to you.
Fred loves that car horn.
No, oh my.
Another
God.
Time we were driving, we were at
there's a second
401.
Okay, good.
Looking for a street,
right?
And it was a weird area there. So we go into I pull into a gas station. Fred's driving to ask for directions. I know. Can you believe two guys did that? And the whole time I was in there, Fred had his horn on.
Yeah, you know what, Fred? I think we are getting a clearer picture of the mayor of Brampton. Thanks, pal.
I say he's more impatient than it's you are.
So do you want to hear the story about Howard chasing a guy to Hamilton
when
he lived in Toronto?
So,
he cut me off.
No, that's not impatience. That's just crazy. Yeah. I admit I might be crazier than you, but I don't know if I'm more impatient than you.
All right.
I know that story anyway, Fred.
All right.
Yeah,
take your balls.
Well, I like to revisit it.
Fred Ball on Fred Ball on Freddie P. Thanks, pal.
All right.
All right. There we go. That's our buddy Fred Ball.
Fred Balls.
Fred Ball.
There's something about just leaning on there. Getting your point across.
Oh, what point is that?
You're pissed.
Yeah, you're angry.
When you hear a steady horn, a guy going through traffic, you think he must be pissed.
Oh, yeah, let's get out of his way. God forbid he pulls over and starts flailing at me with his dinosaur arms.
His CeeLo Green arms.
His velociraptor arms.
Anyway, back to Phil. Okay,
back to the story. We were going to take the first couple of weeks of August off, and then we decided the last couple of weeks, and Phil had a... trip booked, and all we said, and Phil said, listen, I need a couple of days, and it was like one day at the end of a week and one day at the beginning of a week, and all we said was, that's no problem, Phil, you continue with your plans, and we would get one of the many fine young men and women here to perform your duties for those 2 days. And I said, God, you know, God knows we got to be able to figure out 3.5 months to train somebody to edit the show. And I thought that would be a good experience for these guys in case you were sick one day, or in case you had a family emergency, or case Aunt Susie wanted to have you come out to Vancouver to finally meet with her.
I would
God
never
forbid
go to Vancouver
he had a car
for
accident.
And
Phil,
that was how we left it yesterday.
It was wonderful.
What is going on now? All right.
Busy phones this morning.
Okay, so that was how we left it yesterday. We were going to train Steve or Ryan or Frank or Brandon or Leah or Alana or any of the other number of fine people that would between now and August 7th be able to figure out some of that job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not do it as well as you, Phil. So then I come in this morning, and it's a whole HR thing. Now it's an HR thing.
I was not told.
Well, now you've been told.
It's a soap opera now.
Right. No, it's an HR thing because our HR department, number one, you know, at the top of the list is balancing work with family and pleasure.
Work-life balance.
Yes, absolutely.
WLB. That's what we call it in our huge HR manual.
That's right. Subsection 12,
in fact, you know,
five.
There's four of us on this show. Our HR department now has 10 people. That's the way nowadays.
Hi, who's this?
From Fenwick.
Aww.
Hi, Karen.
From where?
Hi, Karen. Fenwick. Hello. Good morning.
Karen, where's Fenwick?
Fenwick is
Yeah, where's Fenwick, Karen?
Close to the falls.
Ah.
Actually, Elaine and I have a little story in common. I sent you a text on Facebook about my dog, Elfie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, do you remember the dog that my dad bought to, as a puppy to pick up?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Karen, to be fair, Karen, she posts a picture of that dog every hour.
Hey.
She can't keep track.
No.
So cute.
Karen,
so adorable.
Karen, we're right in the middle of a very serious HR issue with Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, so. You know what? I just quickly called because I want to tell you, as soon as Fred Ball called in, I drove by Balls Falls.
Oh, did you? Balls Falls. Yeah, that's
Balls
cool.
Balls Falls.
Yeah.
Don't get any on
you.
What was that, Eileen?
Don't get any on you.
That's my girl. Sweet Karen, love thanks for calling. We've got to get back to this very important HR issue.
Hey, darling.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
So we thought that it would be, again, a good exercise to train somebody else to do some of this just in case, on the off chance that Phil couldn't be here one day. I walk in a little bit later today hearing you and Phil discussing this matter. And what if now you had some plans? You were going to take your sisters to Erie or something? Where were you going?
Erie's this weekend. This was the Baltimore trip for a conference.
At least Fred's patient enough to hear him about my plans. I'm kidding. But my point is, though, I went home yesterday because I was wondering how can we adjust? And you know what? Liz and I straightened this out, and we're like bamboo. We're Asians, right? We can adjust to things like this. So the actual convention doesn't start until the Friday off anyways. Mm-hmm. So, and on Sunday, it actually finishes in the morning. So by the time we get home, it's going to be 4 in the afternoon. So it's not that bad. I don't have to take time off.
How far is Baltimore from here?
About 8 hours.
And by the way, just for the record, I knew it was Baltimore, Phil. I was just doing a little bit there. How much?
It's a good 8-9 hour drive. Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm.
So
I have done way worse than that. I have stayed overnight at an airport in China once.
Here's what he's missing, too. It was bonus time because he was still going to get the 2 weeks at the end of August, and he could have had some days there, too. I mean, it's almost to the point where you're not working as much as you're working in a year. It's great.
Rob Ford's right here, you know. Mm. As an Asian, I like sleeping beside a machine and working hard and, you know. And of course, the convention, I personally think it doesn't matter. This bloody convention doesn't matter to me. But to Liz, she's like, well, as long as I'm going, that's what matters the most.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Can you make us a suit?
I can. Well, I can hire someone if you want.
Do you want him to measure your inseam?
But Phil, could you make me some new Adidas or Nikes, whatever it is that people are
making. The funny thing is, I know a factory in China does that.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
See the way he stereotypes Asian people all the time?
I know.
But he can do it because he's Asian.
And I can back it up.
You stereotype Jewish people all the time? You can't because you're Jewish.
And you stereotype
impatient bastards.
Hosers.
And I've got the hot pregnant girl market coming.
Yeah, you got it, baby. Can we just talk about this for a second? Yeah. How bizarre this is.
I know it's bizarre.
Like, all of this, we leave yesterday assuring you that you can take these days.
Extra days.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it would be no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come in today, and you've changed your convention plans. Your Asian Shriners, whatever it is you're doing.
Pretty much.
You're getting together, a convention.
No point. Honestly,
everyone's name tag is, hello, my name is something Wong Fong Ding Dong.
It's a Japanese convention called Otakon, just in case.
Okay.
But anyways, that's my point, though. I don't have enough of a stake in that place to go there for that long.
Is part of this territorial, you don't want anyone else doing your job?
No, not territorial.
Are you sure?
No.
I have a feeling there's some of that in
We're going to take time off anyways. And in fact, you guys actually
we're taking time off, but this would be the first time
we
would propose to do the show without you here. And it's okay.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
We were, as your de facto bosses, saying, it's okay. We'll figure something out. We walked out, Fred and I, saying, yeah, no problem. I'm sure one of these kids that we have can be learned up these skills. Love the opportunity.
You know, because at any given moment, Phil, you could be lured away by a legitimate broadcasting outlet.
What if he comes down with the Asian flu? What if that happens? What if he comes down with the Chinese dysentery that felled so many of our brothers when we were making this railroad?
Phil, you're not a SARS carrier, are you?
My family was at one point.
Painful. Yeah. Painful man.
There's more stereotyping.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right.
But anyway, it's too bad, Phil, because what's your theory? A little territorial?
My theory is your theory. Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham.
But that's fine, Phil. You value your job. You know, you can't knock that.
Well, I think we could. We could. Mm-hmm. If HR catches wind of this, it looks like we're...
Luckily, I'm barely paying attention.
And remember, our HR department is like the big radio companies. The rules don't apply to everybody. It all depends on how much you contribute and how much revenue you generate.
Right.
Yeah.
So you fall somewhere in that murky place where we're not really sure what you do.
Yeah.
And how it benefits us.
We're going to talk about fishing. We're going to talk about more stuff. Eileen's News in the next hour. This is Humble and Fred Radio.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Gig Sky has a new offering. It includes mobile data while flying. When you're traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of airline partners. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, they're just so innovative, so progressive. You know, download the Gig Sky app today for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. The easiest, most affordable way to stay connected internationally. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for. Your service is never throttled. And now it's in the sky. Download the Gig Sky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan or visit gigsky.com. Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small business, say 1 to 100 employees. That's what we're talking. If you've thought about a benefits package for your small business, go to chamberplan.ca today and get a free quote. I mean, it's really easy, really relaxed. You can click on, put the parameters of your business in, get an idea of what's involved, what the costs are. You'll be pleasantly surprised. 30,000 Canadian, small Canadian businesses are part of this. So it has the image of a large company so that, you know, they can keep premiums down. And they've done a pretty good job over the past few years doing that. A lot of testimonials right there on the page. You can read how this has worked for other small companies, what it has meant to their employees, and how doable it is. Again, chamberplan.ca, that's where to go. We're talking prescriptions and dental and all sorts of therapies if you buy into certain levels. It really is fantastic. It's simple to sign up. It's stable. They've been around 40 years. Come on. And the smart thing to do for your people, take the time today, chamberplan.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
Bob Azumi coming up in a second or two. He's on his way.
Maybe he's trying to get here by boat, and there's no canals or anything.
Maybe he's got his bass.
That would be a problem.
What if they got the little bass motor on?
Tearing up the 427.
When does the water open? Like, when are people out on Lake Ontario? Can you go out there permitting now?
Sure, if you wanted to. The locks open... In like in the Trent Severn, where you can go through the locks, I think, the second Saturday in May.
I was at a golf course last Friday in Burlington. Sort of, it would be north and west of Toronto on the sort of edge of the Niagara Escarpment. And there's a little lake there that we've been there together. Yeah. It's called Hidden Lake.
Right. Beautiful.
And it was still a little frosty because it's a little tiny inland.
Sure.
And so is your lake defrosted?
And the ice went deep. Well, our
what do you
lake.
Call that? Is it melted?
Our lake is part of the Trent Severn. It's a small lake, so there's dams relatively close at either end, which means there's quite a current in our lake. So the ice, although it does freeze over in parts, there are areas that never freeze because of the current, and it never gets that thick.
Okay.
So it'll go out quick.
Now, a few days ago, there was a real crisis at your estate. Because of the water levels on your pool, and a motor had to be installed, and a pump, and a whole system. And did that work out okay?
Yeah. That was part of, you know, we're on early with John Moore this morning, and I told you I was cursing the weather last night. Well, I was preparing the pool for the -7 last night, and at one point my hand slipped and hit this racking. And things hurt more when you're cold, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I was cursing in the garage, actually. No surprise, I'm sure. No, but I was concerned because I had taken the water off the top of the cover and put water underneath to raise the level over the weekend when it was, you know, 22 degrees or whatever.
And over the weekend, Monday.
Yeah, and then when I saw the forecast, I thought, geez, I don't want this to freeze at that level. So I put a couple of pumps on top, and all night, last night, the water was circulating in the pool so it couldn't freeze. I thought it was quite clever.
It was amazing. Mm. You know what? You jimmy-rigged that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You did. That's actually a phrase, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You jerry-rigged it or
jerry-rigged it.
You jerry-rigged it. You didn't jimmy-rig it?
No, jerry-rigged
it. He Freddy-rigged it.
That's funny. It's jerry-rigged something, and you put it together.
Phil, tell us what an Asian would have done.
Well, we would probably not have a pool in the first place or sold it to someone because, you know, we can't afford it.
So we offer you an opportunity to go to Baltimore and you could be there. All you needed was one day off at the end of 1 week and the other day off at the beginning of a week. And you went away yesterday and you canceled and you're going to drive 10 hours to get home so you can come here. Well, that's beautiful, Phil.
I went to Washington overnight once because John Stewart was holding a rally. And my friend was so crazy and left wing. He went, go! So we both went. Mm, and we came home in 12-hour trip.
Great story.
Yes.
Great story.
When you're young, those things are fun.
Oh, yeah.
When you get older, they're a pain in the ass.
Went there and you said, go.
I'm also practicing my butt cheeks for the sitting in the car, so I've been exercising. Yeah, seriously. You got to have really strong butt cheeks for a long road trip.
Are you doing clenches?
I've been walking a lot.
That'll come in handy at the swingers club, too. You never know who's going to be up behind you.
You should do some clenching, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Philly.
New survey found that 75% of people have habits they just can't break. Here are some of them. Things, and I don't know if this is an age thing or it's a routine thing, but some of the things most people do the same most every day, things they say they wouldn't change, the mug you use for coffee every day. And I know for having known you for years, you actually have a mug that you use at home on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
And has that probably hasn't changed.
Well, you know what? It's a style of mug. There's six of them, but I need that style of mug. It's a very tall, you know, it takes a lot of coffee. So, yes. And, you know, and I had the mug here that I was using for months until it disappeared one day. So now you and I both have these mugs, and you just you look for it in the morning. It's part of your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah. 10 habits, things that you're not likely to change. Your mug, what you eat for breakfast, your bedtime. The restaurant, I thought this was interesting. The restaurant you go to when you need to grab a quick dinner. Now, Eileen used to live in this pretty cool area of Toronto, Liberty Village, and there's a lot of little restaurants around there, but did you have like a go-to, like, oh, we got to get something quick, we'll go there?
Yep, we had a specific Thai place that we liked, and Fresh on Queen Street, we used to go there.
I love that place.
Yeah, so yeah, you definitely have your go-tos for when you're feeling like something specific.
Do you have like a place you go to when you need to pick up something on the way home, besides Costco? No, I mean that because Costco, you get that quinoa
salad. We have
two
things. We have a Thai restaurant, and we have an Indian sort of takeout counter thing that we go to, yes.
We have a restaurant about 5 minutes from where we live, and I'm going to tell you, it's as good a sushi as I've had almost anywhere, outside of maybe Vancouver and L.A., and we must go there every couple of weeks because for the two of us, you can get a little sashimi dinner, a couple of other pieces, the whole thing's like $30.
To take home?
Sometimes we'll take it home, but just go in there and eat. It really is, and that's our, like, honestly, I was thinking about it. Every couple of weeks I must eat in that restaurant.
Yeah, we do that, too, at a sushi place in Brampton, 168. Yeah, same thing. Very, very reasonable and good.
And if you don't order alcohol, like, you're just going to go in there and have the sushi, sashimi, whatever. And for some reason, I'll just have, like, that tea they serve. I like that.
Same
with sushi.
Here. And I don't know what they do. The one we go to, the green tea is so good and so thirst-quenching and such a compliment to the sushi. And I was raving about it one day, so the guy actually came over and gave me a box of it. Didn't charge me, gave it to me, but I cannot replicate it at home. I just...
Why, the way it's steeped or something?
Just to the strength, whatever it is.
Was it a powder or was it a bag?
It was a bag.
Ah, because
So you're not going to go to Baltimore because we're going to... Anyway, you know what I like with sushi, too? They should try. Do you ever... Because I don't know how many soft drinks you drink, but I like Diet Coke. With sushi because it cuts the saltiness of the soy sauce, which I dunk. Do you like sushi?
I love sushi. I have a couple favorite sushi places, too.
I have two things about sushi that I have to have. I have to have extra ginger. And I have to have lots of wasabi in the soy sauce. In fact, it's to the point now where
it's off the hook with the wasabi.
A shared friend that you and I have, she and I will go to a particular sushi place as well, and she puts so much wasabi in with her soy, it's not even liquid, it's a paste.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
You ever had a bite of wasabi? Okay, I'm sure you have, where you tear up.
You get that brain haze.
You get
haze.
That brain haze, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brandon ate a big piece of wasabi once because he didn't know what it was. Mm. And just put the whole thing in his mouth just by itself.
You know,
but his penis gave you a baby.
It
so,
did.
You know.
And he cried.
In grocery, it's funny because in grocery stores, it gives you an idea how people generally aren't into spice big time. Mm-hmm. If you go to those sushi places in the grocery stores, and sometimes they're not bad for takeout. You know, it depends on the sushi chef at the place.
Sure.
And the time of day,
they
too.
Never in those little things give you enough wasabi.
No.
It's always this little blob, and it's like, are you kidding me? I could use three times this.
No, for sure.
Wake up.
You know, because we don't order sushi, we mm-hmm. order sashimi, and they give you that bowl of rice, which yes. And it's funny because Amanda gave me this, told me this story yesterday, because she had gone out, as an event planner, they get taken out a lot by people who want mm-hmm. to use their services, and she Correct. Went out with this Asian woman for sushi mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. She said, you know, that bowl of rice, and Phil, you can confirm this, is because when you order sashimi, it's no rice. You get a bowl of rice, and she said she watched this woman eat. And she said everything that she ate, whether it was the sashimi or tempura, she took and put on the rice bowl first, mm-hmm. took some rice and that bite of food, and that was the base of eating everything on the table. And I thought, that's interesting.
The rice is like our dinner roll. So, you know, like it's like when you're ordering rotisserie chicken, they give you a little roll that comes with it. Yeah. That's our rice. Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting that this woman took a piece of raw fish or whatever and then used the base. And that's what I will do next time. Let's get Bob in here.
Yeah.
Bob knows fish.
Yeah.
My truck for you guys.
You did what?
You cleaned out your truck.
How are you?
Clean? Bob, you know me?
How are you?
Look at that man. You know, it's so weird. It's like the Bon Jovi of fishing just sat down.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, this guy is that famous, America.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
Now, what'd you bring in here for us?
You know, I brought some Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, my God.
Fishing lures. One of you guys fishes, right?
Too.
Yeah, I do the odd time.
Yeah, I got a few fishing
lures. He's got some lures.
Look at that. All these, Bob, unnecessary. Tim Hortons good. Lures.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, Well, sorry I'm late, guys.
He's Canada's fine. Most popular fishing personality and one of the foremost spokespersons on the sport. It's honestly, his resume, his bio, too vast to get into. Let's just say hello once again to Canada's fishing sweetheart, Bob Azumi. Look at you, Wonder Man.
I wrote that resume.
I'm not sure if you were listening to us.
I tuned in as I was running late this morning. I live in a different time zone over in Milton, so
right, sure.
out in the boonies.
I quite often will fly over Milton.
Well, you know, I was sitting there having my coffee this morning listening to supper. There's a bunch of turkeys, wild turkeys outside the door, cackling away, and turkey season opens up pretty soon.
Now, do you need it? What's the lure for turkeys? Do you just throw something out?
12-gauge.
Yeah.
That'll get her done.
The reason I ask is because I said to Fred, one of the great things about you, and we met you when you were here before, obviously, and I thought, Bob's one of those guys, I was thinking about you this morning, that seems to exude such joy because your whole life has been doing something that you feel such a connection to. It really is a great lesson, and how to be happy by doing something you love every day.
I was like you guys. You know, I tried work. It didn't agree with me. And so I decided to go with what I love to do. And you know what? It's been 30-some-odd years. It's 1979. That's all I've done is fished and traveled all over the world. Still going about 280 days a year on the road. And,
are you serious?
I always still go hard. We just got back late Winnipeg, northwestern Ontario, for a nice fishing trip. And then we've got a trip to Oklahoma, bass fishing coming up, down to Missouri, over to Vermont. Of course, when the ice goes out over there.
Mm-hmm. Why you, Bob? Because I can imagine a lot of guys have tried to build careers through fishing. Why do you think you were so successful? Because you were one of the first to do it or be in it or create television out of it or what?
You know, I think a lot of it was timing.
Yeah.
Back when I was 21, I'd heard about this guy, Al Linder, who I actually knew. He's a professional angler from the U.S., and he was asked to come to the Toronto Boat Show to do seminars for Mercury Marine, and he was booked a year in advance, and I was fishing tournaments back then, getting in lots of trouble, taking off way too many days from a real job. And so the opportunity was there to do seminars at the boat show with Mercury Marine. They hired me for $25 a day. Cool. I did 10 days there and picked up some other companies to work with. And in 3 years of that, I starved to death, slept in the back of my car at tournaments if I couldn't afford hotel rooms. And then in 83, we started the TV show.
Uh-huh. No, that's great. Because, again, there's nothing like, and you're right, and we can attest to that, there's nothing like earning money, earning a living for doing what you love to do. What about the polar vortex? Is this going to have an effect on fishing in southern Ontario?
You know, I think the whole world, obviously, is changing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look at the temperatures today. I got up this morning, and the mud puddles and everything that were open yesterday were frozen, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is pretty weird. So it has changed the fishing. This year, you know, we had more ice than we've ever had. The fishing was a little tougher this winter than normal, but we got by. We got fish, but you needed a long auger. It was pretty tough getting through all that ice.
Uh-huh. So it would have an effect on it, this horrible winter.
Yeah, it would. My brother Wayne, he lives out in the country, and he's got a ponds on his property, and he even had some winter kill. Some of his big bass in his ponds had died. Yeah. He told me last night he was pretty sad about it.
What a drag.
Are you hounded? Like, you talked about these trips you go on. You're on the road a lot. You do seminars. You do speeches. You're a conservationist. You talk about fishing all the time. Two questions. Are you constantly hounded by guys and gals that love fishing with questions about fishing? And do you ever just want to turn it off? Is there ever a day you go, okay, I don't know about cod?
Well, you know, my wife says when we go into a grocery store, don't open your mouth. She says, your voice will give it away. So I got to walk around with my lips sealed, you know, and I love grocery shopping, by the way. But anyway, I'll tell you a funny story about getting recognized all the time. I'm in Ottawa doing autographs and a couple hour appearance at this new store sale a few years ago. I go back to the hotel that night, and I had driven up to Ottawa, and I was kind of tired, so I didn't feel like going out with everybody for dinner after the store closed that evening after my appearance. So I go do a little drive-through. I get my bag of Swiss Chalet, and I'm at the hotel downtown Ottawa waiting for the elevator, and this little, you know, I don't know, he's probably 15, 16-year-old kid's holding the door while I'm standing there with my food. And he says to his two little girls, these two girlfriends of his at the front, just hurry up, girls, this guy's got food to deliver.
Oh, that sounds like one of our stories.
So getting recognized is a lot of fun.
I think I told you, you know, it's funny. Freddie and I, over the years, been asked to be in these celebrity golf tournaments. And one of the most horrifying things, especially early on in the 90s, where basically no one, we barely had been heard of, but if no one knew what we looked like. It was always that thing, as I'd drive the little golf cart out to the 15th hole, and these guys would very be like, so do you know who our celebrity is? I'd be like, I don't think we got one. Or there's no one, just us.
Or there's those golf tournaments where entry is based on what you pay is based on who your partner's going to be. We're always in the bargain bin.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We are.
It's like, we bid $16.75 when we got Humble and Fred. What about being asked questions? I look at you and I would think about, like, you know, if you would be the commissariat Hall of Fame golfer, you'd constantly be hounded for tips. Are fisher people, are fishermen like that, where they say, Bob, nice to meet you. Hey, I'm up in this area of Ontario. What do you suggest? Is that like an everyday occurrence?
Yeah, you get a lot of people asking for advice on their lake or the area they fish, or what lures to use or how to catch them. But, you know, it's funny because you ask, do I ever get tired and want to turn it off? It's what I do. And even when I'm not working, I'm fishing tournaments or traveling and fishing without the camera. So it's kind of an addiction.
So what has happened to these tournaments as far as money goes? If you're doing them outside of work, per se, what are the purses like now in some of these tournaments that would attract you?
Well, you know, in the mid-90s, one of my good years in tournaments, I won like a Chevy truck, a couple Ranger boats, and probably another $50,000 cash that year. So,
and you declare all that? Is that all declared?
Well, yeah, I'm a pro, they say.
You have expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? That's the cool thing about it. If you fish tournaments professionally, you know, you can write off all your expenses.
Sure, you got to drive, you got to gas, you got to stay, you got to Swiss Chalet, for God's sake.
Well, you know, guys got to eat.
Exactly.
But
no, but that's wild, because so there's big money in it.
There is,
or and, big payoff.
You know, I've probably made about $1 million in tournaments just as a sideline over the years, but it's still a grind. It's, you know, not like the PGA where your entry fee is very minimal and you win these huge purses. With the tournaments, you still pay in the U.S. tournaments a $4,000 or $5,000 entry fee for the bigger tournaments, but you're going to win $125,000 for first and 50th. Jeez. They'll still pay you $10,000.
Wow. Really?
So you're really gambling for your own money in bass.
Now, when you spend $4,000 or $5,000 for a fishing tournament, is there like a dinner or something with that? Do you guys get like some kind of consolation prizes?
Yeah, some of the ones down south, they got a buffet there where you can
get a nice buffet,
barbecue food and stuff. Right. You know.
How about this, Bob? Two guys in a boat, the same boat, using the same rods, the same lures. One guy is catching fish and the other one isn't. Why is that?
One guy might stink, put off some sort of bad vibes.
Some really? Got a big, sure. So that transfers right through the rod.
Well, some guys might just have a stink on them.
Yeah.
What about the stink of desperation, Bob? Can you smell that? Yeah.
Would that be? Because I've seen that happen many times.
I can see desperation. And
look, you're
and,
looking at it.
Well, no, I'm talking bad karma.
Yeah.
When I've done shows before with guys that try too hard.
Sure.
You remember Prairie Oyster, the country, country band? Well, the fiddle player there... what's his name now? Alan. Anyway, yeah, his last name's Alan. I can't believe this. But anyway, he tries too hard. And a lot of guests over the years try too hard. And when you try too hard, you're not fishing loose and you're not doing things right. And you're like this, concentrate, trying to get a hit every second. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to fish loose. You got to just keep it cool because, you know, the fish will come to you. Just keep trying different things.
Yeah.
So when you show up to these tournaments, and I probably asked this before, but I forgot, so I'll ask again. Is there a vibe, like, you know, your guys are getting their stuff ready, and then they see in the distance, like, almost like walking in with your back to the sun, and they see a sort of a glow, and it's Bob is zooming, they go, oh, shit. Thank you.
He's the Chuck Norris of bass
fishing.
Exactly.
You come in there, and there's all of a sudden the soundtrack, and then you start...
That glow could
punching
be,
in the air and
that
stuff.
Glow could be from some bad chili the night before, but you don't know. It all depends on who it is. I mean, it's funny because I look at it as myself as a guy who's lucky enough to make a living doing what I love to do, and
this
I've done it
true.
For 30 some odd years, and I continue. I think I'll do it for about another 10 as a business, and then I'm gonna.
But Bob, is there a thing like where guys will want to almost unfairly, like you're just there to be in a tournament like everyone else, and you got no pretension around you, but guys see you and they go, oh, I'm gonna knock Bob Azumi off, like, yo, I beat, because having you in a tournament is like having Tiger in a tournament.
Funny thing about that is if there's 100 boats in a tournament and I'm 39th place and the guy that's 38th place, I've had it many times where he said, all I know is I did good in this tournament. I beat Bob Azumi, but I just had a crappy tournament.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
way to go, number 38.
Yeah, and I know how that goes. It's you know what, tournament fishing is a little different than golfing in that to stay up there and consistently do well. Unlike golfing, which, you know, you see the guys that are up there, and then you see the streaks, and then you see guys like Mike Weir, who had a good Masters for the first 2 days, but then, you know, he slipped down. In tournaments, you know, I look at it as if I can win, you know, one a year, I'm having a good year. And I've won, I think, one for about the last 6 or 7 years in a row now, and I've won.
So that's a nice run.
Yeah, about 100 over the years. So it's not been bad, you know, can't complain.
But I'm surprised at this one. July 2011, you won your first ever major championship in the USA. What is a major, and what was that payoff?
That one, I think, was like $30,000 cash, and then a $50,000 bass boat. And I've won, you know, all
so
these.
So what do? You put that up on Kijiji?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to sell them to pay expenses.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just. At one point, I had in the mid '90s three Ranger bass boats that I had won that I had at a dealership for sale. But those were the good old days. You know, nowadays, you know, you just you hope to get a paycheck in them. And
what do you like to eat when it comes to fish? I made cod a couple nights ago, and I hadn't done that for a while. And it's such a great sort of texturally, the fish is so juicy and good. What about you? Like, are you sick of fish by now?
No, last night I actually invited a bunch of family members over, and the in-laws were over, and so I had maybe about 10 people. did fresh Lake Erie perch, and I mean, they were phenomenal. Everybody was raving about them. Did nice homemade apple pie, which is one of my specialties. You know,
and you baked the fish in the apple pie. That's how you made it.
Yeah, a little tree,
a little cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
How do you make fish? What's your secret?
Easiest way is last night I did a couple different recipes, but the one easy one is canola oil in a fry pan, maybe about half an inch of canola oil. Heat it up pretty hot, and then take your fillets, which no bones or anything, in milk. And then I take panko, Japanese breadcrumbs, a little bit of flour, some seasoning of sorts, mix it up, throw those fillets into the hot oil, and they're done like in about a minute, you know.
Really?
There's nothing better where I go. Of course, it's mostly bass and walleye, but this new fish that's sort of infiltrated the lakes called crappie. A bad name, but good to eat.
Oh, one of my favorites. Yeah. My wife is not a materialistic type girl. I've been with her for like 30 years, and if I bring her home fresh crappies, she'd rather have them than diamond rings.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable.
My dogs used to eat crappie, but
that was their own.
Now people are.
Bob Azumi, we're going to just continue.
You calling my wife a dog?
Sorry.
Oh, God. You already know what you're... Not only are you impatient, you're insulting. Our guest, Bob Azumi, for a couple more minutes.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
If, like me, you're looking at bodog.eu/sports, whether you're a sports bettor, though, Fred, a horse racing fan, a poker or a casino player, you know, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, Hundy P's, go get it. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Follow along as we do at bodog.eu/sports. Click on your favorite one, soccer, footy, or some basketball. Let me tell you about the world's most comfortable pants. I'm wearing them. Have a look at this.
There we go. See that? Those are actually jeans. Those are jeans. But they're
streaming to the world.
They are.
Wow.
Howard's fancy pants.
I'm telling you, they're jeans, but they don't feel like jeans. Now, Rachel said that you're supposed to, like, when you get new clothes, you're supposed to wash them first. I don't know why. It softens them up. But these ones, you don't need to. Their line at Dewar's, D-U-E-R, they say they're the world's most comfortable pants. And I'm telling you, I can't. They're so remarkably comfortable. You won't believe you're wearing pants, Phil. Natural materials in combination with technical achieves breathability, comfort, and strength for everyday wear. No longer do I have to sacrifice performance when you want to dress up or style when you're on the move. Dewar is proudly Canadian and prides itself on having a collection of natural fiber fabrics, meaning the majority of the fibers originate from plants, eucalyptus trees, wood chips, and recycled alternatives to oil, but it all adds up to super comfort. Use the code Humble and Fred. That's the A-N-D, by the way. Humble and Fred 15 for 15% off your next order. That's D-U-E-R .ca. You can also get pants for women and men, both men and women, and some cool t-shirts. And I've got your t-shirts here. Can't wait for you guys to wear them as well. DUER.ca. Use promo code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off.
This is Humble and Fred.
He's Canada's most prolific and popular fishing man. He's Bob Azumi. He's kind of like the Bob Dylan Beatles. He's the Ann Murray. He's the Don Cherry of fish. He's Tiger Woods of fishing. He's the Jack Nicklaus of fishing. He's won. Mm. He's lost. He's laughed. He's cried.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever gotten one of these hooks in your eye?
Mm. Oh,
that scares the shit out of me.
Oh, in the nose, in the ear.
Have you done that where you're like, oh, my. What's the worst fishing accident you've ever had?
No, I mean, I've got them in the, you know, inside my ear and out in the Duck Mountains, out in Manitoba. But you know what? They're only hooks. They, you know, everybody says that fish feel pain. I've yanked a lot of hooks out of my body. They don't hurt that much.
So we've all yanked a few hooks.
What about what about woman folk? Are they infiltrating this industry? Are there women at the top of the fishing results?
What do you say? Do bitches beat fishing?
Yeah. Have we been released from the kitchen?
No. What I'm saying is it seems to be a sport where women could compete with the men quite easily.
Well, let's just say that my groupies are pretty well male-dominated, okay? Licensed sales in Canada indicate that about 40-plus percent of the sales of licenses are to women.
Right.
So a lot of females do fish, and, you know, I hate letting my wife fish. Now, she takes a lot of the photographs on the shoots. You know, now the kids are growing up and that. She travels back with me again. So she takes a lot of photos. She's a very good photographer. And every time she picks up a rod, she catches bigger and more fish than me. So she's not allowed to fish on the shoots.
Good for you, Bob. Yeah.
Bob's got a lot. Years ago, Bob created a franchise that continues now into its fourth decade. The show Real Fishing, is it still on?
Still on, 31 years now.
And where do we see Real Fishing?
On Globo on the weekends, Nat Geo on the weekends, and WFN throughout the week.
So you turn your TV on, and you're likely to see these shows, which I've always been fascinated. We talked last time you were here about the way they're shot. And the idea, always when I would watch you, I'd say, how do they get the camera to know when a fish is being caught? Like, all you just... It's incredible. Like, who's in the water? Is that guy just there all day?
My son is my cameraman, and this guy obviously has some of my blood in him. He knows my... If he hears on this wireless microphones on his headset me sort of stop breathing for a second, he knows I'm going to set the hook. And we work together. He's been with me now for 5 or 6 years, and all the cameramen I've worked with over there, they have that synergy after you work with them. Or if I'm coming up to a good area, I'll say, roll the camera, we're going to catch fish here. And about 1 out of 3 times we do, and the other two.
So there's lots of footage for each show.
There's a lot of footage that'll put you to sleep.
Right.
Like in a given day, you know, some shows take us an hour to shoot. Some have taken us less than an hour. Some have taken us 3 days where we're, you know, fishing on the ocean or for muskies. And we'll change clothes and say it's day 2, day 3, whatever. That's why we call it real fishing. Mm-hmm. But we don't fake it. But the thing is it happens as it happens. And what can I say?
Have you ever seen the movie Life of Pi?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a scene in Life of Pi where the kid gets up on top of the bow or the deck of the boat, and all these flying fish come flying over him. Now, I know it's computer generated, but are there fish that will jump out like that somewhere in the ocean?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had fish jump in the boat, literally, over the years.
I've seen that YouTube video of... all these fish jumping in a boat. There's some phenomenon that takes place.
Take a video camera and try to shoot a TV show and have them jump in the boat on cue.
Can't happen. Right.
Well, they won't work for scale. They need a little bit more than
that. Yeah, you gotta negotiate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so that actually happens. So when a fish jumps in your boat, do you just all laugh hysterically like you stupid effer? I'm Bob Azumi. Come to me, fish.
Yeah, you might have an accident in your pants if it's a big fish. I mean,
we do that anyway.
You seriously? You don't want to see your underwear?
No.
Bob Azumi, you're a wonderful man, and we have to let you go because we've got a full slate of people. But we'll just say to everyone: go to realfishing.com, watch Real Fishing TV, listen to Real Fishing Radio. If you get a chance to be in this man's presence, take it because you're a wonderful person.
Hey, you know, it's always great to see you guys. All three of you are wonderful people. Legends. I can't put Eileen in that. She's not
that
old.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah. She's a legend in training.
I'm pretty happy to be in their presence. Yep. Oh, you got a phone call.
Well, likewise, Bob. And, you know, you're welcome anytime. And feel free to call in anytime and give us fishing updates.
Oh, great.
Bob Azumi, people. Look at that.
Bob Azumi. Thanks, Bob.
Hi, who's here on the phone?
Good morning.
Yes, hello. Is this Bob in North Carolina? Hello.
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 No, this is not Bob in North Carolina.
Okay, what's up, Dad?
I'm looking to, is Bob still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got a call. Bob Azumi question. What's your name?
My name is Darren.
From where?
Darren from Burlington.
Okay, Burlington.
Representing Burlington.
Well, yes, actually, I live actually north of Burlington, near, sort of near Bob. Actually, I didn't realize he's around in Milton area still. I met Bob back when I was a kid living up in Pigeon Lake. And I also, in Burlington, I used to work at a gas bar on Plains Road that I used to frequent quite a bit. So it's been a long, I've known Bob, well, not really knowing him per se, I can't say we hung out many times, but it's been a long time since I watched him.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been at it way too long. Yeah.
Is there a specific question you'd like to ask?
Well, yeah, there is. Actually, Bob, is there any, I've actually been fishing a lot for myself, and this year I'm actually going to start getting more tournaments. Do you ever, I see you have you different people on board with you. How does one go about finding a way to get on the Bob Azimi boat?
Well, you know, I get hit up pretty often to come, you know, people want to come fishing with me. And the big thing I say is write into the show or you know, email us realfishing.com. You can find our email address or enter some of the contests that we have. We usually have a couple of contests every year where you can
win. The winner gets a chance to hang with Bob. Right. That's really cool. Hey, thanks for calling. We got to go. We appreciate it.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, and that'd be one of those things, too. I imagine a lot of charities are after you saying, hey, would you mind letting us auction off an opportunity at our silent auction or whatever to fish with you.
I could spend the rest of my year doing charity fishing days, and we do a lot of them. And, hey, it's what it's all about.
Howard, why don't you and Bob do a fly-in?
What do you mean?
You get your plane that you own. You get Bob on board. I
don't own a plane.
No, it sounds good if we say you do.
So I get my plane that I own.
No, well, why don't we take your private jet?
Yeah, let's take exactly. Let's take the Fred jet. You know, it's got the tail number. Mm-hmm. Impatience.
Our old boss used to do that all the time. Get in a plane and fly into these areas that you couldn't access by car or foot.
Seriously?
And fish. Oh, yeah. Stewart. Loved it. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He did. I thought if somebody didn't know. I'm like, yeah, I worked for him, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bob, thanks for coming
in. Hey, great seeing you guys.
Okay, buddy.
Let's get everyone in, the out.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did own a plane once, though.
I did. I love fish, by the way. I've eaten more fish in the last couple months. I really do, and I'm going to try his method. I've got to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous. Do you do this in your home, frying things?
I've started.
Because I'm a little bit reticent to do it because I'm always worried, like, you see those... I'm being serious. You see those videos of people whose grease fires set their whole place on fire.
You stay on top of it. Don't get it too hot to burn the oil. But I've been doing that. My son bought my wife for Christmas this wonderful frying pan. Nice flat bottom. It gets hot really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the stuff that comes out of there is amazing. I wouldn't hesitate to get, you said, the cod or whatever, and lightly just put some flour on it. And fry
and then
it.
You fry it in canola oil.
No, I would use olive oil probably.
But you know, one of the reasons that you don't use olive oil.
Why?
Well, they say canola oil or peanut oil because olive oil burns at a different rate and it'll burn quicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so you're saying that I can just put oil in a
get a good frying pan.
I'd have a good one. I've got a real nice
flat bottom and thick
cast iron. Yeah. The ones you see on TV.
Right on.
All right. Let's get to the news here. And our dear, dear friend, Ali Hassan, has entered the studio. My good man. Hang on a second. Here comes Phil. Wow. Here we go.
Here comes Eileen. She's got Humble and Fred News featuring Ali Hassan. Here comes Eileen. She's got Humble and Fred News.
I can just imagine his puckered starfish as he's screaming that out.
Better you than me.
Well, it's not a starfish, it's a seahorse.
I don't need that.
It's a seahorse.
Oh, no, he meant the back.
Yeah,
the
Bill's puckered starfish. That's fantastic. And it's going to get a good beating when he goes to that swinger's place.
Oh, I didn't know.
Seriously, can you imagine the riding crop up his tuchus?
Oh. Yeah.
If you want to go to our is it still on our Facebook page? Phil getting whipped.
Yeah.
All right. Ali Hassan's going to get himself comfortable. Ali was just at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. He's one of our favorite stand-up comedians. He didn't have to do what he's doing. He emailed Eileen and said, "Hey, Howard and Freddie and I always talk about food.
Yeah,
and you wanted to bring in some tasty treats.
Oh, it smells good.
Who's a hot sauce guy here?
Both love the hot sauce.
Yourself?
Yeah." Uh-huh.
But not with the child?
Eh, in moderation. I like it. He's not so fond of it.
I will welcome you back after the child is
done.
Oh,
my God. You can prepare some Scotch sauce bonnet. For us.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
And then this is... yeah, it's got some nice... And then this is like a spicy omelet, potato, and I didn't... I opened up an avocado. I was like, oh, it'll be a nice, like a creamy sort of guacamole. And it was bad news inside. No, it was bad news inside. So I brought the other one. I have not opened it up.
It's like you got to use them right away.
How about we do this? Because you're very sweet to do this. But Allie's a very funny guy. And we're just going to do our news and take a couple minutes. And then we'll have a little brekkie together.
I mean,
I never say brekkie. I'm never going to say it again.
Please don't.
Brekkie. Shut my face.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I have a fisherman story since we had Bob in earlier. A Norwegian fisherman was gutting a large cod that he'd caught when he ran across an unusual lump in the fish. It turned out that the fish had swallowed a medium-sized orange dildo.
Really?
Yeah.
As one is prone to.
Well,
did he have
old.
It for brekkie?
No. He doesn't
use that.
Cross
the line. You just promised you would never.
I know.
Dildos, they come in different colors. They're not usually just flesh colored. They come in like in... I've seen them
shape.
In some very...
who came in? The pet lady came in and gave
Keely.
Me...
Huh? Keely Abbott.
And she gave me a dog toy.
Yeah.
Honest to God, it's like a dildo with ears.
All right.
Everybody who comes in the house, no matter who they are, goes, it just looks like we've left this dildo hanging around. Dog's running around with it. It's like, oh, you let your dog touch it? Yeah, well.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, apparently it looked like a kind of a multicolored octopus that actually does inhabit the waterways of Norway. So
interesting.
They think it had eaten that, thinking it was food. It was not food.
You know, it's funny. Claire was in yesterday.
Claire Brosseau.
Brosseau. And and I gave her that vibrator. She actually took it.
No, she didn't.
Oh, it was still there?
I just gave it to Steve, and him and the interns were trying to figure out what to do with it.
Fred just happens to have a supply of vibrators.
Yeah.
Just for special guests, Allie.
I'm not.
You have to come in a few more times.
No, what do I got to cook?
He gave us food. We'll give you a vibrator.
Yeah, it's a branded Humble and Fred milk frother.
Allie Hassan just finished doing the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, and you can find out more about his comedy at...
StandupAlley.com.
StandupAlley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a story about how... next time there's a story about how horrifically bad the smog is in China or India, don't pity only the residents of Beijing or New Delhi. A new study suggests that the air pollution over there is what caused the cold winter here.
Is that true, Phil?
Yes.
Okay, Phil knows. Hang on.
It's all about pressurization and air and the jet stream.
Excellent.
Well, why don't they clean up their air? I'm sick of this shit.
Well, now when you blame the Chinese,
it's very funny because when you're in India and Pakistan and you know you can be there for 3 weeks and every day somebody's like, it's very foggy today. It's very foggy. Like, it's not fog. You ask, it's been foggy for 3 weeks. This is pollution.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Right. There's a bit of a denial going on.
Phil, what's the air like in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Bob Azumi. And thanks to Ali for bringing the food in. That's very nice. StandupAli.com.
Thank you very much for listening to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much
for not saying we suck.
Thank you very, very, very much.
I can't hear you.
What do you want to say?